Hello, and welcome to show number 2507 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
I don't know how many teachers I've had where they're just like, oh, I can cue it a little bit differently, and I can just word how to do things differently. And then it gives them a deeper understanding of what they're teaching as well. And there really is that dual satisfaction in the whole scenario. And again, there could be a really cruddy trainer. I mean, I've run into that so many times over the years. Like, I wouldn't trust that person to train a worm. Like, this is so bad. And you don't have to train with that person then. You can keep figuring it out yourself. I have all kinds of resources on my website in order to help people stair step their way into the gym themselves and slowly get more comfortable and know what they're doing. And then, boom, you're good to go.
If you're in an exercise program, you'll understand why it's important for the teacher to have some familiarity with how to describe things, especially for people who can't see. And we'll be talking about that today.
Just because you're visually impaired doesn't mean you can't stay fit and healthy. We'll talk with Evan Scherbrock, founder of Cane and Able Fitness and the world's strongest blind man, about his remote training approach, the importance of taking small steps in any fitness program, and his personal journey from vision loss to competing in adaptive strength events. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Evan Scherbrock.
Just do something and make sure it scares you just a little bit. So what I've noticed in our community is there can be a lot of people who do like a stationary cardio machine, or they're okay doing an at-home workout where it's just some chair squats, something like that, but make it a little bit more complicated. I think our community needs a lot of strength training, and then we'll be a lot stronger to help prevent falls and metabolic syndrome and a lot of these other issues that we tend to encounter. And just being able to do something that challenges you that 5% extra and then really just build on that compound effect is going to be absolutely huge. And I hope that different things that we provide, like our free gym acclimation program on our website, are going to be something that kind of break down some of those obstacles so you don't have to worry about as much. And instead, you just get to go have fun and exercise and be happier and healthier for it.
And we don't all need to be professional bodybuilders, but it is a good idea for everybody to be healthy.
Exactly. And you bring up one of the best points that I ever could is I don't need anybody to be competing or putting themselves in great risk or anything like that. But if you're not in shape enough to do the things that make you fulfilled and allow you to, you know, go out and socialize or go for a fun hike or anything like that, then that's going to be what's holding you back. So I just want people to do what's important relative to them to make sure that they're in shape enough to be able to enjoy the rest of their lives all the more.
That's what it's all about.
And in almost any endeavor, if you don't stretch yourself, you won't get much better. So if you want to improve, just stretch yourself a little bit, try harder, and you'll improve slowly but surely.
And as Evan said, you don't need to be a professional athlete, but it is important to be strong enough at least to prevent falls and injuries and to enable yourself to go out and have fun.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
InnoSearch AI, an accessible e-commerce tool for the blind. You can find your favorite electronics, groceries, or do some early holiday shopping at InnoSearch.ai, now partnered with over 500,000 retailers. That's InnoSearch.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Evan.
My name is Evan Charles Swerbrock, and I am originally from middle of nowhere, Illinois, outside Kewaunee.
And now you're located in?
Columbia, South Carolina.
Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Yeah, so primarily I run a company called Cane and Able Fitness, and that's because I'm a fitness professional who is also legally blind due to having Leber's hereditary optic neuropathy. And I try to mesh my experience, lifting, competing, and all this fun stuff with my academic experience of having my master's and all these different certifications in order to serve the blind community better and make sure that fitness and exercise are good and accessible for us.
And that is such a great name, Cain and Abel. I love it. How did you come up with that?
Well, I'm Christian, and then I really wanted something that was kind of putting that out there, my belief system, but then also very on the nose with how I believe people, even if they have this big indicator of a disability, that you can kind of overcome the doubt in the world. So a lot of people, especially when I have my cane, think I'm not able to do stuff, but that's why we changed the spelling to C-A-N-E and A-B-L-E to show that even if you have a cane, you can still do things.
That is great. And as we were setting up for this interview, I noticed you were using Zoom text, so I assume you're partially sighted. What exactly is the state of your vision these days?
It's pretty stable. With Libras, it tends to stabilize really quickly. I'm actually on Friday celebrating 10 years of figuring out what was going on with my eyes and causing my very abrupt blindness. And that would be actually 10 years since I put away the keys to my beloved truck. And so it's been pretty stable ever since. You kind of have good days and bad days with Libras, but otherwise it's fairly stable. A little bit more ability in my peripherals, pretty blurry down the middle. And again, just kind of go with the ebb and flow of those good and bad days.
And it sounds like you've adjusted to that fairly well.
I try. My family and friends have always been a really, really great support over the past decade, and being able to just keep pushing through and figuring everything out.
That makes such a big difference.
It really does.
Eyes on Success connects corporate sponsors with visually impaired listeners around the world.
More information about becoming a sponsor can be found at www.sponsor.eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is Evan Schwerbrock's Cain and Abel Fitness Company.
Well, Evan, I hear that you sometimes refer to yourself as the strongest blind man in the world. How did that come to be? How did you get into this kind of fitness thing?
Well, I was so small growing up that I kind of had to start lifting out of necessity, and did a lot of farm work as well. I grew up at a vet clinic that was primarily taking care of horses, and I was expected to do a lot there when it came to, cleaning horse stalls and helping out with horse surgeries and everything like that. So pretty manual labor job, but I just wasn't growing, and I decided to start lifting weights to get better at sports when I had correctable vision. Probably get bullied a little bit less was definitely a factor in there as well. I was just a little nerdy kid. And then it became a big passion for me. I really decided to put a lot of my intellectual pursuits towards learning about physiology and everything. Graduated with my bachelor's degree in 2014. And then later that year is when my disease kicked in, and then wound up going and getting my master's and all. So I was always learning about exercise and everything all the time. And eventually said, you know what, I want to start competing a little bit. So I started competing in strongman. Most people are familiar with it because of like lifting the Atlas stones or pulling the trucks. And it's on like every year on ESPN. And I recently got to compete at the Adaptive Strength World Championships, where I took second and was first out of the visually impaired people. So demonstrably can be called the world's strongest blind man. So I'm trying to just use that bit of a title in order to prove to the rest of the blind community that a lot of these things that they think weren't possible or the rest of the world thought wasn't possible are definitely doable.
How much weight does one need to lift in order to consider himself the strongest blind person in the world?
I had to do some fun events at this event in England. There was lifting Atlas stones. I got to set like a bit of a record there. It was a really heavy dumbbell overhead.
Yeah, but what do you consider really heavy? I mean, I think 40 pounds is really heavy, but you probably don't.
It can be heavy. It really depends on what you're doing. So the heaviest stone was 341 pounds
Oof.
Of concrete. And then they had a cool kind of lever deadlift situation where you had these side handles, and typically a car would be parked on there in order to look impressive, and you lever that up. But they actually had a big old ice bath, and they started loading weights into it. And we got up to 600 kilos, so a little over 1,300 pounds loaded on there that you had to try to pick up. So that was probably the heaviest event this year.
So that's not something you lift up yourself, or are you talking about sort of tipping up a platform with this weight on it?
Yeah, so it's on like a fulcrum, and it's partway up on that lever arm, and then you lift it up from its set point in the back. So if anybody wants to look up a car deadlift, that would be the easiest way. But they had a whole ice bath sponsor and everything to fancy it up a little bit.
Well, see, we're both physicists, so we rely on leverage, but that's still a lot of weight.
Yes, I had to do my little applied physics with where I put my feet and what's going to give me the best help with those fun lever arms, for sure.
So this is basically your background and your qualifications for teaching other people how to engage in physical fitness. What do you do through your company, Kane and Able?
It's turned into a lot, for sure. I have done remote coaching where I can work one-on-one with people, even, again, remotely, and that is then able to personalize things for them. I also do seminars. So I was just in communication this morning with a group in Arkansas who were bringing me in or to speak at a few different places and do like 3 different hours of teaching at a big conference there. And then I've done that in many different ways internationally and all. And I also go and do specific fitness seminars, not necessarily just at conferences, but specialized things for different blind organizations. Gosh, there's always different things that pop up as well. I'm always producing social media content that makes things more accessible and allows people to understand things a little bit better. And then there's a ton of free articles on my website.
Let's go back to the first thing you mentioned, where you do remote personal training. My concept of that is that the trainer gives the trainee feedback on their form and how they're doing the exercises. How does that work?
So I make sure to do a consulting call with everybody that I bring in order to kind of figure out what they've done, where they're at. And then I just stair step into things really progressively. So I use the app called WhatsApp in order to make sure that I can give voice messages, which makes it easier for me, easier for them, especially if they have visual impairment, which most do. And then we're able to talk about different sensations they should be feeling. But then also I do video review where I'm able to magnify things, slow things down, rewatch them, anything like that. If there's particular exercises that I'm more worried about or they want more feedback on, then we're able to just slowly stair step into more complicated things. And then as we're building out their knowledge with how they should feel things and what different exercises are, then I can get more creative by slowly dosing in other things and explaining them along the way. So it's just kind of going piecemeal and making it work for each individual's experience.
So you talked about getting both your bachelor's and master's. Was that in health sciences? And did you start this right after getting out of school?
Kind of. So I got my bachelor's in health science, precisely. And then my disease kicked in. I was kind of in a gap year of working in the fitness industry and applying for grad schools. And then suddenly within 2 weeks, boom, all of my vision I was going to lose was gone. And then I went on the next year to Chicago to get my master's in kinesiology and did that for 2 years. I wound up working some other jobs in the fitness industry still in Peoria, Illinois, and was a professor at Illinois Central College, things like that. And then during actually COVID lockdown, started Kane and Able, realized I had the time to start pumping out a ton of articles and having a lot ready to really hit the ground running. And it was July 2020. My brother started the website and we got going.
Oh, that's interesting. This is another one of the positive outcomes of COVID-19.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I'm locked in a place, I got to be able to do something. So I wrote 30 something articles and had them ready to be able to produce for at least 6 months immediately.
Do you have any time yourself for doing your own targeted exercises during the day, or is most of your time taken up with classes and you're doing exercises with other people?
Yeah, I still make sure that I have that time. I think it's really important to take care of yourself and your own health as well. And especially if I'm going to be still competing, which I'm going to be for at least the next year. I'm actually flying to Madison, Wisconsin in the morning in order to do an adaptive strongman showcase. And I'll be the only blind person there in order to show how we can adapt to different strongman events, which are always different. They were ever changing actually for us until Monday. We actually figured out what the heck we were doing. So it's good for the adaptability. And so I have to make sure that I'm not necessarily tip-top shape and peaked all the time, but at least staying nice and consistent and hopefully injury-free.
But I was going to say, talking about injuries, when you're lifting that kind of weight, you do have to be a little bit careful. Have you ever run into issues where you've, you know, sprained your back and couldn't do anything for a month or two, or broken a bone or something?
Yeah. So I've had all kinds of little setbacks, but that's kind of when you're riding the edge, that's going to happen. Actually, most of my issues have to do with my scoliosis that I've had ever since I was 15. I have some pretty extreme scoliosis to the point where if I went to the doctors, they would just tell me to get surgery. So I don't go to the doctors and instead use my background to deal with it and understand that I can only have so much gusto with like squats and yoke carries and deadlifts and things like that. So I have to be a little bit smarter as I get older.
I guess as everybody gets older, you do have to be a little bit more conscious about how you move and what you lift and what you do, right?
Absolutely. And I see myself very much as a guinea pig for my clients to make sure that they don't have to endure near as much as I have.
So your personal specialty seems to be strength training. Is that what your clients specialize in as well? Or do you also work on other kinds of exercises with them?
Yeah, I work on all kinds of different exercises, but You're correct in assuming that I'm a bit more specialized in strength training. So I have a strength conditioning background with some of my certifications. And then it's obviously my passion because it's not what came easy to me, but I integrate everything that everybody needs. So I'm currently a strength coach for a BB baseball team. So we have very different body types and everything where we have to make sure that they're in proper shape for their needs to get faster, stronger, more explosive, but also healthier for the rest of their lives. So I get to balance all that stuff with all my different clients.
And I guess most of your clients come from your online presence because you're all over the net?
Yeah. And then I've spoken at a lot of conferences, and then I participate or work for different programs around the country. So then word of mouth tends to get around a little bit. It's always crazy to me when I hear from somebody from a different country, or I'm going to be like partnering with a student from Duke, and it was her advisor who knew of my work and everything. So word tends to get around, which is a huge blessing.
You talked about the specific year you went blind. Was this a surprise to you, and your vision all of a sudden overnight turned awful?
Mostly yes, because we had an uncle who had this disease, but we were told that it was not going to happen to us because you have to like abuse drugs and alcohol in order to develop the disease. That's like most common. And we're kind of given the impression that it happens later in life as well. So, I was 21, 22 years old and working out multiple times a day, working different jobs, driving my truck wherever I wanted. And then it actually all came to a head where I thought my contacts were just messed up, and I made an appointment to get a new contacts prescription. But I was playing in a local volleyball league that the last 2 weeks I was kind of brought in as a ringer because I played a lot with my friends in college at some pretty high levels. So I was in the small town volleyball league doing very, very well. And then 1 week I got hit in the face with somebody who spiked the ball, and I never even saw it coming. I was like, that's never happened to me before in all my years of playing volleyball. And then later that game, I tossed the ball up and it got lost in the lights to serve it. And I just guessed and swung, and it hit like 8 foot in front of me. I remember one of my teammates being like, are you okay? And I was never invited back, and I totally got it. So that next week I had my doctor's appointment, and we were able to figure out that we needed to take a picture of my optic nerve, which was pretty well shot at that point. And that's how we kind of figured out, oh, I guess it did likely develop in me.
So you said we, in the context of we were told it would never happen to us, does that mean this happened to your siblings as well?
No, thank goodness, not yet. And we have no indications. I have two brothers, though, who I suppose could potentially do that. But I also have a sister, and she's going to be having a baby here soon. And luckily, they got a genetic test and know that she's not a carrier. So her child at least couldn't have it. So at least with this generation, it stops in our family.
So I've been blind since I was born. Well, I was partially sighted when I was young, and now I don't have any sight. But I almost consider myself lucky because that's sort of like life is normal without sight. And, you know, it's been an adjustment over the years. It's not a big deal. And I've always thought you go blind later in life, that's a big deal. It's a big change. You've relied on your eyes your whole life. And to all of a sudden go blind like that, it's amazing the journey you've gone through getting your bachelor's and master's and then starting your own business. That's a very positive message to send to people.
Absolutely. And I'm sure you've gotten this a lot in your life where people are like, oh, I could never do it, or I couldn't even imagine how hard that would be. And you just don't understand what it takes, or that you have the capacity to adapt to things until you have to. And that goes for all disabilities and all kinds of different walks of life. I've heard this kind of philosophical argument before, where there's people who've been blind since birth and then people who acquire it later. And if there's some sort of divide there, and I've heard people on one side of the fence or the other getting kind of snotty at the other one. And like, we're really all in this together. And it's just one of the obstacles that we have to overcome in our lives. So I think it's really fun having to adapt. I was a visual learner. I could just look at the chapter summary of textbooks in college, in my undergrad, where I had to take a test and I didn't know there was a test. And I walk into the classroom and I'm like, oh no, what three chapters are we going over? And then I'd be good to go, get an A. That was fine. But then all of a sudden, I'm not a visual learner anymore because it doesn't work very efficiently. So, I mean, life's all about adapting and being able to be as positive as you can about it. So it's been a fun adventure.
So that's a great life philosophy. It really is. But back to the specifics of your coaching, what kind of advice do you give to your clients in terms of, you know, a lot of blind people are like, well, I can't go to the gym because it's hard to get there and they don't know how to show me how to use the stuff. And what kind of advice do you have for people with vision loss who want to get into fitness?
I would say just take it one step at a time. So recently I was speaking for a group of visually impaired elderly people. And there was this one lady who's just like, I really want to do aerobics, but I can't. There's no way. And I'm like, well, have you tried it once? And she's like, well, no. I was like, well, why don't you just go a little bit early, talk to the instructor, have a couple minute conversation and be like, hey, you know, I might mess up and everything, but like, can you like kind of try to guide me through? And then we can talk afterwards as well. And I bet after three classes where you have a 2 minute conversation before and after, it's going to be a night and day difference. She's like, that's a good point. I was like, yeah, like if you haven't genuinely tried it, of course you're not going to be able to do it. Nobody else can either. And there's a lot of sighted people who are scared to death of the gym, but you just go in, figure out a little bit at a time, and you don't have to figure it out all at once, but you know, that little bit is going to add up over time until you're very comfortable. And then you get to let the exercise be the stress, as it should be, instead of just going to the gym being the stress.
And I'd like to add to that, I'm fully sighted, but this applies to people with or without vision. I've been to many gym classes with many different teachers, and you know, frankly, some of them do the explanations better than others. Some of them will be up at the front of the room and say, just do what I'm doing and leave you to yourself. But some of them give really good explanations. And in general, if you work with them before class, especially, they'll do better than they would have. And if one teacher doesn't do it for you, try another.
Exactly. And I don't know how many teachers I've had where they're just like, oh, I can cue it a little bit differently. And I can just word how to do things differently. And then it gives them a deeper understanding of what they're teaching as well. And there really is that dual satisfaction in the whole scenario. And again, there could be a really cruddy trainer. I mean, I've run into that so many times over the years. Like, I wouldn't trust that person to train a worm. Like, this is so bad. And it's like, you don't have to train with that person then. You can keep figuring it out yourself. I have all kinds of resources on my website in order to help people stair step their way into the gym themselves and slowly get more comfortable and know what they're doing. And then, boom, you're good to go.
Well, that's great. Your story certainly gives people a lot of hope that they can do anything and adjust to almost everything. And it sounds like you offer a great service there.
Well, I try. And obviously, you guys are very good examples of pairing together and overcoming things, and very nonchalant about it, actually.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Cain and Abel Fitness and how to contact Evan Schwerbrock.
Well, Evan, if people are interested in getting involved in exercising and particularly getting involved with your company Cain and Abel, where would they go?
Yeah, they can just go to caneandablefitness.com, caneandablefitness.com. Always have to spell it out. You can always shoot me an email at caneandablefitness@gmail.com. And then I would love for people to subscribe to our YouTube channel, just Cain and Abel Fitness, and also follow on Instagram Same thing. There's also a Facebook group where I'll post different helpful links and different articles and little things like that. So any of our social media, we would love to be in contact with people.
And one of the things on your website is your company logo. Can you describe that to people? I just found it so engaging.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for bringing that up. Because I'm into strongman, it is a kind of a bulky guy outlined, and he is holding a giant dumbbell overhead with one arm and then his cane outstretched in front of him with the other arm. And we tried to keep the design very simple so that even if people have partial sight, hopefully they're going to be able to enjoy the logo as well.
And as usual, if you click on the show notes for this episode, which is 2507, you'll find all of that contact information that you just heard. By the way, as our listeners probably know, we totally revamped our website this year, and we're wondering what people think about it. What do you think is good? What do you think could be better? And you want to send your comments to us at host@eyesonsuccess.net. We always enjoy hearing from you and hearing your feedback.
One feature that we've retained from the previous version of the website is the search tool. So you heard us and Evan talking about how important it is to do some kind of exercise. The best kind of exercise for you is the one you'll actually do. So find something you enjoy. And if you want some hints on how you can do it with a visual impairment, we have done many, many episodes where we talked about different kinds of exercises and sports and training programs. And just use the handy search tool to look up either exercise or sports in general, or anything in particular that you're interested, from tennis to cricket to surfing or martial arts or anything that strikes your fancy. And if we haven't covered it, send us a note and say, hey, I'd like to learn about whatever it is that we've missed.
We hope you find that search tool valuable for finding all kinds of information. We certainly do.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about a novel navigation device. The original biped navigation device has been upgraded and renamed NOAA. We'll talk with Mael Fabian, co-founder and CEO of Biped AI, the company, about NOAA, the product, a wearable AI device offering obstacle detection, navigation feedback, and real-time scene description. We'll discuss what the device looks like, how it works, and review some of the latest upgrades.
Thanks for joining us this week, and we hope you'll catch us again next week.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening, and have a nice day.